Amen. Thank you. Thank you, ladies, so much. Come, Emmanuel. Praise the Lord for that. And as I mentioned, that is what I'm preaching on this morning, Emmanuel. And we didn't plan that. The Lord did, I suppose. But just thinking about how good it is to enter this season. And I'd like to do a couple of things, and one of which, of course, I'll preach here in just a moment. But one of those things I'd like to do is just to remind us all of where we are on the calendar. You say, Brother John, you don't have to remind me. I know where we are. Well, 3 weeks from today, Christmas will be over. And I'm afraid that we won't have taken the benefit of this Christmas season like we could have. And I know that it's easy to get cynical and say, oh, it's commercialized and people are too involved in gift giving and or as far as gift competing about what they're giving. And I suppose you can look on the cynical side of that, but all that you have to do is just change the way that you look at it and remember what the season really is about. I know it's a quaint saying that Jesus is the reason for the season, but he certainly is. And so this morning, as we get started officially in the Christmas season, if we want to put it that way, I challenge you to do some reminding of your own self. Even if the whole world has gone crazy, even the Christian world, for that matter, has gone crazy and has focused on the wrong things and not paid attention to the right things, doesn't mean that we can't do right. Doesn't mean that we can't take this season and say, you know, for us, me as Joshua said, me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. You can say for me and my family, we're going to honor the true meaning of Christmas, Jesus Christ coming to this earth. I love, I'll maybe share a little bit this evening, I love all about Christmas. I love Christmas trees, I love Christmas presents, I love Christmas music, I love Christmas get-togethers, I love Christmas food and all of it. And so I think that we can enjoy all of those things and give gifts back and forth one to another and not miss one bit of the importance and the significance of what Christmas is all about. I think we could do it all. Some people say, well, I don't think we should give gifts, have trees, and do all those things because we ought to focus on the true meaning of Christmas. I agree, you ought to focus on the true meaning of Christmas, but I don't believe that means we have to do away with all the traditions that maybe you've grown up with. I believe you can put Christ first, like we should in everything we do, and then have a lot of good traditions below that. And so just a little thought this morning, as we officially get into the Christmas season, I challenge you, don't be that Scrooge or don't be that one that says, I ain't going to mess with all that because they've tainted the importance of it. Certainly people have. But we can write that, at least in our own life, and we can put their emphasis in the right place. And so I challenge you to do that. Well, let's look, if you would, in Isaiah chapter 7. Isaiah chapter 7, as you find your place there in Isaiah 7, 14, we'll find a familiar verse. And as you find your place in Isaiah 7, I did hear this story about a cadet that was in the police academy. He was getting close to the end. It was actually getting near his graduation. And on one of the questionings that he was given on some of the exit exams, it was asked in orally, what would you do if you came to a place where you were going to have to arrest some people and you found that one of the ones you had to arrest was your mother-in-law? He thought for a minute and he quickly answered back after he thought for just a little while back to his supervisor. And he said, I'd call for backup. That's what I'd do. So depends on which mother-in-law you have, I guess. So Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Now remember, this is hundreds of years before Christ comes to the earth, and God is telling his people through the prophet Isaiah that, you understand, where they're looking at, they're looking on the other side, we're looking back. Now, you haven't always been saved, but there's probably never, if you're like me, there's never been a time when I haven't known about Christ. I grew up in West Virginia, and we were going to church before I was born, so I just went along with the family when I came along. So I don't remember a time when I didn't know the story of Jesus Christ and the manger and salvation and the behold, a virgin shall conceive. But you remember that God's people for all this time before Bethlehem, they were being promised what we're going to read about in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. So it may seem old hat to us, It may seem, of course, a virgin shall conceive, and Emmanuel, and Mary, and highly favored above women, and of course all that. But of course, from where we're sitting, because we have the opportunity and we have the privilege of looking back, but as the people of God throughout the centuries were looking forward to Messiah, then Isaiah is used of God to tell the people here, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 1, if you would, in the New Testament. And as we look at Matthew chapter 1, verse number 23, and it gives a reference back to that verse we just read, and it adds to just a little bit as it's given in the gospel message. As given in the Gospel of Matthew, the Bible says, chapter 1, verse 23, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. And then God adds to it in the New Testament here, which being interpreted is God with us. You know, I do more than my fair share, I suppose, of going to the funeral homes. And, of course, like everything else, COVID has kind of slimmed that down. A lot of times they're not able to have groups at funeral homes. But I do my fair share of going to funeral homes, and I find that a lot of people don't go when a family is in need. I always challenge them to go. But here's the worry that people give me for reasoning why they don't go. They say, I don't know what to say. I don't know what I would tell the family when I get there. Can I tell you what my response always is, and my response to you if you want the advice? My advice always is, you don't have to say anything. Do you know one of the biggest gifts that you can give to anybody is your presence, with a N-C-E at the end, not E-T-N-T-S, not presence as bringing them, but your presence. I tell people when they say, I don't know what to say to a family. I said, some of the sweetest times that I've ever seen around at a hospital or around a funeral home is when somebody comes and some tears come down their face and they just basically let the family know they're there, and then they go sit over in the corner, over sit in the side. Just the presence of people being there means so much when somebody's going through something. So don't let the devil fool you into thinking that you're not articulate enough. You don't know what to say to give good advice. You don't know what to say to give good comfort. Your presence there gives more comfort than you'd ever realize. And as I springboard from that into my thought this morning about Emmanuel, God with us. Now, it's old hat to us, the doctrine of Jesus, God. Jesus said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And even when he went to heaven, he says, I go so that the Comforter will come. And he would not leave us comfortless. He would be with us. And so as we have the thoughts and the privilege and the great joy of thinking about the fact that Jesus is always with us, but in the Old Testament, as this promise was given in the book of Isaiah, God worked in a little different way amongst people, but he was promising his people that Emmanuel will come. And I want you to look with joy about that time when Jesus Christ left heaven's glory and entered into this world so that he truly could be Emmanuel, God himself with us. I want you to think about a couple of things this morning. I want you to think about this, the comfort of God with us. The comfort of God being with us. We've taken it for granted. But God, if you're saved this morning, God is with you, and you never go through anything but what he's not right there alongside you. Have you forgotten what it was like when you were a child? If you had a mom and dad like I did at least, have you forgotten what it was like when it was a child, when you were by yourself, but then the difference that came over your spirit and came over your attitude when mom and dad were there, because it just gave that hope, it gave that help, it gave that assurance that things were going to be okay because somebody's here that can take care of the problem. Or you fast forward to when you were a teenager and it came time when you get up to the counter to order at McDonald's, or maybe you're sitting at Outback or wherever it is, and you're as a teenager, you know that if dad's there, guess who's not paying? You. It gives a comfort to have those people who can take care. And I think about this, and those are whimsical illustrations about what it's like to have somebody that with us on the scene that can take care of things. But let's look at this, my friend. If you think about the comfort that it brings that God is with you, He says, He promises that we'll never leave you nor forsake you. Jesus said in the Gospels, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you," what, church? Rest. God with us. You want to know how to rest in your hectic day? Realize that God's with us. You want to know how to overcome the frantic problems that are plaguing you and feel like they're avalanching down on you? Remember, God with us. Emmanuel is not just a great psalm. Emmanuel is not just a great thought. Emmanuel is a wonderful promise to every believer. God with us. God tabernacled with us. The Bible calls this flesh, our tabernacle, our tent. What we realize, the reason I know you're you and you know I'm me when I come up, you recognize my tabernacle. You recognize my tent. I'm tabernacled in this. And the Bible says that Jesus, God, Emmanuel, God with us, He tabernacled amongst humans. And I think about the great comfort that that gives. In October of 2015, there was an internet sensation for just a little while there. A picture went viral on the Today Show. It went on all kinds of social media sites. It was a picture of a young man about 21 years of age. His name was Godfrey Cuoto. He was on a bus, a city bus, and there was a fellow named Robert that was much older than he. And the picture that went viral showed Robert, this man that was visibly shaken by the busyness that was on the bus. He was holding on to the hand of this 21-year-old. Somebody had taken a snap, a picture, and put it on. It went on Facebook of a lot of different people's accounts and went on, as I said, on the Today Show and different social media sites and a lot of places. But here's what happened. The man, Robert, that was holding the hand of Godfrey was a deaf man with cerebral palsy, and the busyness and the hecticness, he didn't know all that was going on the city bus, but it was just agitating, it was worrying him. And so there was this nice-looking guy that was sitting beside of him, and Robert reached over, and Godfrey thought he was going to shake his hand, but he grabbed his hand and held on to it, and eventually he laid his head over onto his shoulder. And Godfrey, at first not knowing what to do, was a little awkward, but he could tell it was giving great comfort to the man. He didn't know what was wrong with him, but he knew that he had some issues. And he just stayed there for the entire 30-minute ride. It later went on Facebook of a lot of people's accounts, and somehow the family of Robert got the contact information of Godfrey, and they reached out to him via Facebook or somewhere or another. And thanked him because their uncle, who they love greatly, they knew got very agitated when he was around busyness and crowds. And they thanked him for just being somebody that was there with him for this reason. Thank you for being a comfort to our uncle. Do you understand what it is to be a comfort just by someone's presence? And my friend, when we see in Isaiah when it says he should be called Emmanuel, and Matthew's gospel adds to the end of that, which being interpreted as God with us. I don't know what you're facing this morning. I don't know what this season brings to you. I already told you I love Christmas. But it might not bring the same sentiment to you. There's a lot of people who that brings memories of the loss of loved ones. Christmas time and this season, to many people, bring a dark feeling back about things that have happened in the past. And perhaps you're that one. But if you are that one, can I remind you that Emmanuel, God with us, is there to comfort you through this time of season, be it good or be it bad, in your memory. I see the comfort of God with us. But I see not only that, I see the consistency of God with us, as I mentioned already before in Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 5. If you want to turn there, you can, but I'll read this to you. The Bible says, Jesus promised that I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And I see not only the comfort of Emmanuel, the comfort of God with us, but the consistency. I met one of our missionaries at a church the church we served at in Ohio. And the first time I'd met him, we'd supported him for years, but this first time I'd met him, and he thanked me for many things. He thanked us for some gifts that we had given and some different ministries that we had helped support. But here's the overwhelming thought of his first meeting with me. And I think this is true with many of our missionaries. The overwhelming thought of his thanks to me was, I want to thank you for consistently every month sending support to me and my family. They were in Nepal. And they said, without the consistent support, not only are we not able to do it, but then we're also not able to have peace of mind because we don't know whether the support is going to be consistent. And I think about this morning. One thing that we can say many things about our Savior, Emmanuel, God with us, but one of the things that we can definitely say is He's consistently with us. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, as the psalmist was so, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. And I think about this in Jesus Christ as He says, He'll never leave you nor forsake you. My friend, I understand that sometimes it feels like in life you are all alone. But if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, He's your Savior. He will never leave you nor forsake you. The consistency. It's a wonderful thing to think about how consistent the Lord is. How many of us like to get a paycheck consistently? That's not great to get a paycheck and then a few more weeks go by and then you get another one. Or a few months go by and you get another one. Consistency, maybe retirement check or however else your funding comes in. It's consistency that we count on, that we appreciate. And I'm telling you, the consistency of Emmanuel, the consistency of God with us. If you're saved this morning, you'll get up in the morning, and whatever comes your way throughout the day, Jesus is with you. My friend Emmanuel, it's a wonderful thought. I'm looking in the faces of people who I've talked with this week, and I realize you're going through very many things this week. There's a lot happening right now, and it's not good. And perhaps that's why God, you're the reason God brought me to this message, to tell you that when things go bad and it seems like people desert you and it seems like people aren't being faithful to you, I give testimony to the fact that there's one that will never leave you. Consistency of God with us. I see the comfort of God with us. I see the consistency of God with us. And then I see the last one. The Bible teaches in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, we all with an open face, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Can I give you this last one? Not only do we see the comfort of God with us and the consistency of Emmanuel, but then I show you the conformity. And let me explain what I mean by that. Would you like to have been one of the disciples? Have you ever thought about which disciple you'd like to be? Rarely do people say, I'd love to be Thomas. We always think about Thomas being doubting Thomas. We always give Peter a hard time because he denied the Lord and he sunk in the water. But I remind you, as I maybe I've done before, I remind you that he holds the record for the second longest water walk in the world. We always look at that he sunk, but we could look at the other side that he did do a lot of walking. Have you ever thought about which disciple you'd like to be? Like to be John that laid on the bosom of Jesus as he just got to be close enough to hear his heartbeat. Be one of the others. Ever think about that? But here's what I want to bring to you this morning. Do you understand that the disciples got to literally walk down those dusty roads with the Lord Jesus Christ? Remember James and John coming to him and say, well, we'd like to sit on one side or the other. You know, could we sit in your kingdom? And Jesus got to correct him and tell him what they really, that some things that they were wishing for and wanting weren't going to happen that way. They got to be conformed to the thinking of Jesus. Remember, they would come up with some big bold statement, and Jesus said, "Not so," and Jesus would straighten them up. Peter would say, "No, we're not. I'm going to die for you. We're not going to let you die," and Jesus would straighten him up. Peter, James, John, the disciples, they got conformed. Now, they didn't do it completely, but they got to be conformed to the image of Christ because he was with them, telling them when they got out of line and then telling them how to get back into line. I started the first taxes I ever paid for a job were at McDonald's. I was 15 and my mom and dad signed a work permit. And so I started working at McDonald's. The first thing that they do when you get there is they give you a uniform. Back then in the day, you had to wear the pants, the shirt, the hat, the belt, the proper kind of shoes because guys usually started back in the grill area. And I had to be in uniformity to what our corporation, the McDonald's Corporation, at least our local one, what they wanted. When I got out of conformity, when I got out of uniformity, there was always somebody called a manager that would help me to get back in. Sometimes some of those boys would come in and they would say, they would have a pair of blue jeans on instead of their uniform pants. And Marilyn, one of our managers, would say, "That's not going to work. You got to go back home." He said, "Oh, they're all dirty. I couldn't do anything." He said, "I don't care. You're going to have to go back home, clean them, or put the dirty ones back on. If you're going to be working, you've got to conform to what we want you to dress like." And they would help you in that. Maybe not always help you, but they would kick you in gear and get you going that way because they wanted you to conform to what their desire was. You know, the Scriptures talks about us looking in the perfect law of liberty. The Bible talks about us as I mentioned already in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, "But we all with an open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, were changed in the same image from glory to glory." The Bible talks about us looking in this perfect law of liberty and that we're not supposed to just look and then go and be the same way as we were. Instead, when it shows us our faults, it shows us how we need to change, that we're supposed to change. Gives the analogy or gives the illustration of you looking in a looking glass and noticing that something's wrong, but you walk away and you didn't even fix your hair. The reason you look in the mirror is not just to say, "Wow, looking good today." How many of you understand? Most of us... Isn't this a depressing thought? You're looking worse now than you've ever looked when you look in that mirror. Now, maybe you're a teenager in here and you're still coming into your own, but for all of you that are past that prime, you've got less hair tomorrow when you look in that mirror, men, than you had yesterday. You've got another wrinkle tomorrow that you didn't have last week. Boy, aren't you glad you came to get encouraged today? But you don't look in that mirror and see your hair all messed up and then say, "Oh yeah, that is messed up," and then walk away. You look in that mirror and then you see what's wrong and you try to fix it so that you can be more presentable. What are you doing? You are fixing yourself. And the Bible talks about us beholding our natural face in the glass, and we look in the Word of God instead and see our spiritual self. And then we conform to the image of Christ. I hope you're not missing the main point of our Christian life, and that is to conform to the image of His dear Son. When you're reading your Scriptures this week, I challenge you to find something that you're not doing right. I challenge you to find some spirit of unforgiveness that you're holding on to. I challenge you to find some bitterness. I challenge you to find something that's not like Christ. And then take the conformity of Emmanuel and let that change your life. As the disciples, they walked along those dusty roads with Jesus Christ and they got to ask Him, "Should we do this or not?" And if they'd listen, then they'd hear what to do and what not to do. We don't have that privilege, but we do have, the Bible says, we have a more sure word of prophecy here that we can look into. And my friend, with the indwelling Holy Spirit and the eternal Word of God, you and I are blessed to see the conformity in our lives with God with us. The conformity of Emmanuel. When I go to Dairy Queen, I like to get cookie dough blizzards. They're my favorite one. Some of the others, once in a while, I branch out, but usually I come right back to it. You ever make those cookie dough as you mix up that cookie dough for cookies at home and you mix all that up, and Amy doesn't let me eat it, although I do enjoy it, but she says it's got raw eggs and it's bad for you. So you take that cookie dough and you dollop it out on that pan and you put it in, and Amy was making some some time back for Maddie to send over to Crown, and you see those, and you open up that door of the stove, and you realize that they're not done yet. It's still a little bit of a clump up there. It hadn't flattened out to make that beautiful-looking cookie. What do you say when you look in there, and it's still a big old clump? It's not flattened out like a cookie's supposed to be. You say, they're not done yet. They haven't conformed to what you consider a good chocolate chip cookie. Can I tell you this morning that I'm not done yet either? I'm not conformed completely to the image of Christ. Oh, but I want to. I long to. And the reason that I bring you this thought this morning is to give you help and give you hope that if you're not where you want to be yet, I bring that old song that we used to sing in beginner church, He's Still Working on Me, to make me what I ought to be. And I hope that you're still trying to work to be conformed to the image of Christ. God with us. He's our faithful God. I leave you with this. And Thomas Chisholm had a difficult life. He got saved when he was 27 years of age, and God seemed to give him a gift to write many hymns. One of his favorite, one of our favorite hymns that he wrote was start off as a poem. And this poem by a co-worker, friend, co-laborer, co-minister with him, William Runyon, put that poem to music. In 1945, George Beverly Shea, George Beverly Shea, who sang for a lot of Billy Graham crusades and got well known through that method, sang one of his songs. And it later became kind of the unspoken theme for Moody Bible Institute. And that song that Chisholm wrote was one that we sing here at our church. Great is thy faithfulness, O God my Father. And you know what one of the most blessed things of Emmanuel, God with us, is the faithful presence of the Lord in your life. Now again, you may be one that Christmas season is a hard season for you because it conjures up memories of loved ones that are gone. But can I tell you one that will never leave you nor forsake you? Emmanuel. The Bible says his name should be called Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. What a gift that night in Bethlehem was given. Leaving heaven's glory, God's gift, Emmanuel, came to tabernacle among men. And this morning, as we get started into the Christmas season, I don't know what you're facing. You may love Christmas or you may just endure it. But this morning, I'm asking you to dwell on the blessed thought of Emmanuel, God with us. If you're here this morning and you're not a believer in Jesus Christ, oh, you believe about Him, you know about Him, but He's not your Savior. Can I tell you the most blessed Christmas gift you could ever get is accept from Jesus Christ the gift of salvation, Emmanuel. Would you go on a journey with me over the next 3 weeks and keep reminding yourselves, keep reminding ourselves that God with us. Better than the gifts, better than the trees, better than the songs, all of which I told you, I already told you, I love. Better than all of those things, the ever abiding Emmanuel. Father, bless us now is our prayer this morning. Lord, I pray for every soul that's in this building. Lord, may each of them and each of us be certain that Emmanuel, God with us, is truly, personally with us that we're saved. And then, Lord, if we're saved, and the people sitting in front of me, the souls that are here, if they can give testimony of the fact that they're saved, Would you help them through this Christmas season to never get away from the promise that you would never leave them nor forsake them? Lord, may they see the comfort that that gives. May they see the consistency. And then, Lord, would they see the conformity that you're trying to get us into the image of your Son. Bless us, I pray, in Jesus' name. If you're able, would you stand together as our instrumentalists begin to play something through? If God has spoken to your heart this morning, I invite you to come.